Cristo. Alleluia. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and power working mighty things in our lives and situations. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for every good thing you have given to us. Thank you for your peace that fills our heart. Thank you for the strength you have given to us to sustain and prosper. Thank you, Lord, for making ways for us in those places where there are no ways. Thank you for the opportunities you have sent into our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for those battles we couldn't overcome because of our limitations and weaknesses. But you stepped in and you made us overcome those battles. Thank you, faithful Lord. We thank you for honoring your name in our lives. Thank you for putting the enemy to shame concerning our lives. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your divine provisions and protection. We thank you for your divine revelations. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for divine help and healing and deliverances. Thank you in Jesus. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to have this program every Tuesday morning. We thank you for mighty things you have performed in our lives since the time we started to have this program. Here today, we are here this morning again to seek your face, to lay at your feet, and to pray, oh Lord, minister to every heart by your Holy Ghost. Open the blind eyes. The name of Jesus. Let our understanding be enlightened. Let your power touch everyone here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. And we welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to be looking at a puppy that says, set your heart on God's greatness. Set your heart on God's greatness. Which also means set your mind on God's greatness. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. First Corinthians verse 4 and verse 5. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. My preaching and my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the topic once again is set your heart on God's greatness. Set your heart, set your soul, set your mind on the greatness of God. Yeah, so we can see here that Apostle Paul began to in verse 4 that every time he speaks about the gospel, every time he teaches about Jesus, about God's kingdom, that he doesn't try to use enticing words. Yeah, he doesn't try to use enticing words of man's wisdom, but he tries to speak by the Spirit and by the power of God. So he said he does his ministry according to the demonstration of the Spirit and according to the demonstration of God's power. That was the way Apostle Paul does his ministry, because Apostle Paul had a personality I don't know how I can describe his personality. He is a kind of a gentle person. Yeah, I can't say he's an introvert, but maybe in between introvert and extrovert. So he's not someone that speaks much. Yeah, he said it in his letters. Apostle Paul is someone that don't really speak much, and perhaps he doesn't speak fast as some very eloquent speakers, public speakers, does. So he's kind of a gentle person, a quiet person in the public. Yeah. For instance, in verse 3, yeah, he said, I mean, in this 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, he said, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Yeah. So that is whenever he is with them physically, he's not someone that wants to be a boss upon everyone. Yeah, he's not someone that wants to show himself and show that he's one of the latest anointed apostles in the city or in the country. So his appearance and personality is very very quiet, very gentle, very meek. So, you know, in the sense that he even speak with the people in fear, much like maybe I'm talking to you and I don't even want to look at your face when talking to you. That kind of personality. And it's not as if maybe you are older than I am, or you are more spiritual than I am, but you know, that kind of personality that is just so quiet. I think that's the kind of personality Apostle Paul had. Yeah. So he said, whenever he's with them physically, the people will see a different person. Yeah, because initially he would send letters to them. He would write letters to them. So and when they read those letters, some of them start crying because his letters are always very powerful. And we can confirm it because some of his letters eventually became part of the Bible. So you also can confirm that Apostle Paul's letters are very powerful and anointed and full of revelations. Yeah, so his letters has authority, carries authority. And then maybe some people that have not seen him physically before, but they got his letters first. So now he came physically, they were expecting that this person that wrote in a powerful way, they were expecting that when they see him physically, he will also look big, or he will show himself in a big way, in a bossy way, and I want everyone to fear him and honor him. But they were shocked that they saw the opposite. Yeah, they were shocked that they actually saw the opposite when he came to them physically, when he visited them physically. They were not seeing the kind of person they thought he would look like, considering how powerful his letters were. Yeah, so that was why he concluded in that verse 5. By telling them that he chose to live that kind of life and to do his ministry that in that kind of way, so that the faith of the people should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yeah. So he said whenever he speak, whenever he preached, it depends on the Spirit of God and on the power of God. So that is why everything that comes out of him is powerful. Yeah, like it depends on the Spirit and on the power of God. Yeah, so that the faith of the people that are hearing him or reading his letters will not be on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yeah, sometime ago, someone said to me that you kind of speak very slow, like you kind of speak one by one. But the person now said, I think I like it like that, because it kind of enters into my heart than other preachers when I think you understand what I'm saying. But I was saying that though I speak slowly, but he likes it like that. Yeah, that though I speak slowly, that it's still powerful. That though normally it's not a type is not the time that would like that. Like, naturally would like to have to listen carefully when someone is speaking. Yeah, because that person speaks very slowly. Yeah, like you would want someone that speaks very fast. But person was saying that listening to me, though I speak slowly, but it's kind of powerful and kind of doing some things inside. Yeah, so we should do ministry in a way. Though this is not the point where I'm going. But before I go into the point in detail, I'd like to say that we should do ministry. For those of you who are ministers of God, do your ministry in a way that the people listening to you will put their faith on God's power, not on the flesh. So don't do ministry with your wisdom. So don't say, let me speak in this way. If I talk in this manner, the people will respond well. That's a wrong way to do ministry. Yeah. You can't use eloquence of speech to help people's lives. When it comes to doing the work of God, it is not according to how enticing your words sound in their ears. It is not according to how eloquent you sound. It is according to the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Yeah, so where I'm actually going is in that verse 5. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So our faith should stand, should be in the power of God. Your faith should be in the power of God. So that is why you have to set your heart on the greatness of God. Fix your heart on the greatness of God. Because that is the key to seeing the demonstration of God's power. That is how you will see the demonstration of God's power. I have tried to see if there's another way to see the demonstration of God's power. But I couldn't find another way than this way. Yeah, I have tried to check if there's another way to see the demonstration of the power of God. Apart from fixing your heart on God's greatness, and I couldn't find another way. So, which means there is no other way. Don't let anyone deceive you. There is no other way. Your heart must be fixed on the greatness of God, on the power of God. That is how you will see God in action. Yeah, when your heart is on the strength of darkness, when your heart is fixed on the strength of your enemies, you cannot see the demonstration of God's power. If your heart is always thinking on impossibilities, that is not possible. Oh, this is a strong issue. Oh, this is a big problem. If your heart is always fixed on the strength of darkness, on the strength of impossibilities, yeah, on the strength of your enemy, on the strength of your weaknesses, then you cannot see miracles. Yeah, if you always think on how this can never work, how that can never work, then nothing will work. Yeah. Nothing will work. Some people keep saying, oh, this country is bad. I mean, their country. Oh, this country I'm in is bad, full of corruption. The economy is bad. No money. We are suffering. If that is where your heart is always going, if that is what your heart is always thinking, then that shall be your portion. Then it means you will always be at the mercy of the country's economy. I mean, of your country's economy or corruption. Yeah, but when your faith is on God's power, you will be at the mercy of God. And I want to be at the mercy of God. And I want you to also be at the mercy of God. Another point, you will see mighty things happen because God is faithful. Now we're going to be looking at 4 points before we pray. Once again, the topic says, set your heart on God's greatness. Set your heart on God's greatness. Point number one. God is great, whether you can feel it or not. God is great, whether you can feel it or Now, let us look at Mark chapter 12, verse 24. Mark 12:24. God is great, whether you can feel him or not. Mark 12:24. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Yeah, Jesus was speaking to those people, the Sadducees. He was telling them that you are making great mistakes. You are committing great errors because you do not know the scriptures, neither the power of God. That is, they don't know the scriptures, and they don't know God's power. Yeah. So you can be reading the Bible for years and not know the scriptures. Yeah. And being the church and seeing miracles happen and yet not know God's power. Which means there is a knowing of these things. There's a knowing of these things. But those people have been reading the scriptures, but because they are not connected to the spirit that produced those scriptures, they went into great errors. Yeah, you cannot know the scriptures if you don't know the spirit that wrote the scriptures, that produced the scriptures. You cannot know the scriptures if you have no relationship, no connection with the Holy Spirit that produced the scripture. Yeah. And if you don't know the Holy Spirit that produced the scriptures, how can you know the power of God? Yeah. So God is great. God is powerful, whether you can feel it or not. Yeah. His greatness is constant. His power is constant. So it is left for you to know that. Yeah, to seek him enough to know it, for him to show you his greatness and teach it to you and teach his power to you. Yeah, you can know God's power to the point that you will know how to connect with his power all the time. Like Apostle Paul, remember where we read in the introduction? He said whenever he do his ministry, he do it according to the demonstration of power. So that means he knows how to connect with power. But that is why any time he's ministering, he's always powerful. Because he knows God's power. So there is a knowing of God's power. And when you know it enough, you will also know how to connect with that power. In every hour, in every day of your life, you will know how to position yourself, position your spirit, position your mind to channel God's power and to connect with God's power. Yeah, because God's power is always there. It's just like the force of gravity. I'm sure many of you know what force of gravity is. You know that if you throw a stone upward, there's a force that brings the stone downward. You can even try it right now. Maybe in your room, pick something, throw it up, it will come down. And if you do it a million times, will it continue to come down? Yes. So as constant as the force of gravity is, that is how the power of God is constant. I don't know if you're getting my point. So for those of us that know that power, for those of us that know how to connect with it, we know that it is constant. That is, it is ever present. It is always present. That's the meaning of constant. It is always there. Yeah. And it will forever be there. Yeah. Forever be everywhere here. Whether you are here on earth, the power of God is there. Whether you are inside the water, inside the sea, the power of God is there. Anywhere, God's power is there. Anywhere and everywhere, His power is there. So when you know His power, you will know how to connect with it. Yeah. Some people sometimes they try to confuse men of God that knows God's power. They try to confuse ministers of God that knows God's power. They say, yes, you have been praying for me, I've not seen any results. They say, man of God, you have been praying and praying, nothing is changing in my life. No miracle is happening. So they are trying to give the man of God impression that God's power is not with him. Yeah. And some men of God now will start doubting. Does that mean I don't have power again? Yeah, but that's not the truth. The truth is that something is wrong somewhere. And usually we are the one that is wrong. Yeah, we are the one that is wrong. The power of God is always there. Yeah, because many times when I go to God on some issues and I say, God, why is this thing not happening? Despite the fact that I have been praying about this, then God will begin to show me where things have gone wrong, where human beings have gone wrong, and why He cannot reveal His power until those people correct their ways. Yeah. So many times when we don't see God's power in action, we are tempted to think maybe God's power is not there. It's a lie. God's power is there. We are the ones that are wrong. We are the ones that need to correct many things. I used to think like that until God starts opening my eyes to see how we are the ones that are the problem. Yeah. But how God's power is always available. But we are the ones that are the problem. Reinhard Bonnke wrote a book. In that book, he's saying, and some of you might know him, Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. He's dead now. He wrote a book. He said, Are we fire proof? Are we flammable or fireproof? That was the title of the book. He said, are we flammable or fireproof? Yeah. That topic alone speaks volumes. What he's trying to say is that, are we Christians that have positioned our life in such a way that God's fire can consume us and take over us? Or we are Christians that have positioned our life in such a way that God's fire cannot penetrate into us, that we are rejecting God's presence, rejecting God's fire, maybe through fear, through unbelief, cross pain or whatever reasons. Yeah, so we are always the problem, not God. I pray that you will not be a fireproof Christian, but you'll be a flammable Christian. In Jesus' name. You know, we have bulletproof. It sends back bullets. So we have Christians whose lives are Holy Ghost proof. Their life sends away Holy Ghost. Anytime Holy Ghost wants to enter, their lives push Holy Ghost back. Anytime the fire of God wants to enter into their lives chase back God's fire. I pray you will not be that kind of Christian. In Jesus' name. Now let's move to point number 2. Point number 2, the state of God in the head is a dominion state. The state or presence of God in the head is a dominion state. That is the way God is present in the head. Is in a state of dominion. In a state of dominion. Let us look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah 40, verse 15 to 18. Let me read it in New Living Translation so that you can appreciate this verse more. Isaiah 14. It's been 20. No. For all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. That is, comparing the nations to God's presence, to God's greatness. It says, all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. So gather all the nations together. All the nations of the world. Gather them together. They are like a drop in the bucket. A drop in the bucket to God. It went further to say, they are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole head as though it were a grain of sand. Yeah. These verses are not even describing to us how big God is. It's just showing us how it's showing us the nothingness of everything to God. How everything is nothing to Him. It says He picks up the whole head as though it were a grain of sand. Do you know how small a grain of sand is? Yeah, that is how the whole head is to God. Like a grain of sand, he picks it up in his hands. And then verse 16, all the wood in Lebanon's forest and all Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. So you can see how great he is. Yeah. Verse 17, the nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes, they count for less than nothing. You see, they are nothing, and then they are less than nothing. So you can see how great God is. It is mere emptiness and fraud. Verse 18, to whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? This is the greatness of your God in the earth. Yeah. So when you think about God, how do you perceive him? Do you really think properly about him? Because you can go and read these verses again on your own, yeah, because I'm not the one who wrote this scripture. It's in your Bible. Go and read it again. So whenever you meditate on God's personality, what are the things you think in your mind? How do you perceive him? Maybe that's where your problem is. Yeah, because you are perceiving him wrongly. Maybe that's where your problem is. Maybe that is why you have never overcame the powers that have been oppressing you. So how do you perceive him? Yeah. Do you really think of him? He is, at least as the scriptures describe him, you think of him that way, or you think of him as some kind of a powerless figure, weak figure, limited figure. Some Christians they have set a lot of limits on God in their minds. But they already concluded God can never do this, can never do this, can never do this, can never do this. And because of those limits they have set on God, they have given power to Satan. But when you set limits on the greatness of God, then you have just given an extra power to your enemy, to Satan. When you begin to conclude that God cannot do this, because you are trying to understand God with your senses, with your head knowledge, you already conclude God can never heal this kind of thing. He can never heal this kind of disease. He can never do this. He can never do that. He can never do this. Then your enemy begin to get more powerful than you and more powerful in your life. Yeah, but when you have unlimited faith in an unlimited God, then there is no limit to the power of God that will work in your life. Yeah, of course, we're still going to look at other points. I don't want to say some things now. So let's move to the next point. Point number 3. Your unbelief cannot change who God is. Your unbelief cannot change who God is. Yeah, so God is who he is, whether you believe or not. You know, for some time I used to think maybe something is wrong with the way I do ministry, because I always want a lot of people to have testimonies after they have received of my ministry. Yeah, but then God began to tell me that, am I not changing your own life? Yeah, then God began to tell me that, don't think about those people. Think about yourself. The same thing you are teaching them, is it not what you are doing? And then look at your own life. Am I not changing your life? So which means, if they do the same thing you are teaching them to do, the same way I'm changing your life, I will change their lives too. Yeah. I don't know if you're getting the point. So I was concerned that, why are the people receiving of my ministry, following my ministry? Why are they not that all of them are not seeing results? Of course, many are seeing results, but many also are not seeing results. Yeah, so I was concerned that, is there something wrong in the way I do ministry? But God was saying that, except they listen to you, listen to the message I've given you to teach them, Their lives will continue the way it is. So he was saying that your own life is an example. If you are following the same truth you are teaching them, the same standard you are teaching them, and your own life is changing, it means if they listen to you and also follow the truth, their lives will also change. So God remains the same forever, and your own belief and not change who He is. Yeah, your doubt not change who He is. If you continue to doubt for the next 100 years, it cannot change who God is. So let's look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. It says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So he can't deny that he is powerful. He can't deny that he heals, that he delivers. He cannot deny that he makes people great. God cannot deny who he is, because he is who he is forever, whether anyone believes or not. So don't expect him to tell you that he cannot help you. The God that I know will never tell you that. God that I know will not tell you that he cannot heal you. He will not. He will not tell you that he cannot save you. Since when I've been hearing from God, he has never said he cannot do one thing. He has never said that. That there is one thing he cannot do. I've never heard God say that. Yeah. So which means we are the ones to believe, to see him in our lives. So if you're expecting that he will tell you that he cannot do certain things, is a lie. Especially those things that we know him to do, things that are his will, his plans for us. God will never tell you he cannot do those things. Yeah. So, which means that you are the one to benefit from your faith, not God. You are the one that benefits, that profits from your faith, not God. I pray that God will increase your understanding. Let's move to the last point. Point number 4. God's delay does not mean weakness. God's delay does not mean weakness. Let me say it a third time. God's delay does not mean God's weakness. Let us look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. Mark chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. So, it is part of God's power to delay in his operations. Yeah, it is part of God's wisdom to delay in doing certain things. Yeah, maybe some of you have not really thought of it that way. Yeah, maybe you have not thought of it in the way that it is God's power to not do anything. Yeah, it is part of God's power and part of God's wisdom to not do anything, even when you know you can do that thing, and then you restrain yourself and not do it. That alone is powerful. Have you thought of it that way? In fact, I think that is even more powerful than when God do something. God choosing not to do something, I think is more powerful than when God does something. I will explain. Remember when they hang Jesus on the cross? And one of the thieves was telling him to save himself and save them too. Yeah. The guy was saying, if indeed you are the person, they say you are. If indeed you are the person you say you are, that you are the Son of God, just deliver yourself and deliver us too. That was what one of the thieves on the cross was saying. Yeah. And of the truth, Jesus had the power to even stop all of those things from happening to him, to stop him from being arrested, from being beaten, from being crucified. He had the power to stop all of that. Yeah, and in fact, at that point on the cross, he had the power to save himself. But he chose not to. Yeah. Do you think it is God's happiness to see someone sick and not heal that person? No. Yeah, but sometimes the best thing to do for a sick person is not to heal that person. Sometimes that is the best thing God has to do for that person, not to heal that person. Yeah, so God being able to withdraw himself from doing certain things, things that is too easy for him to do, that alone is powerful. That alone is powerful. But with your human mind, you might not want to agree with me. But I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. If God grants all the desires of people that are seriously praying to him at this time, the whole world might no longer be a place to live anymore. Yeah. So the ability of God to set some rules for himself is powerful. The ability of God to set some rules, to set certain times and seasons for his oppression, that alone is powerful. I mean, what I mean by setting rules is that God sets rules for himself that except these criteria are met, I must not do this, I must not do that. Except in these certain times, in these certain seasons, I must not do this, I must not do that. So that ability of God to set restraining orders for himself, to set rules for himself, that alone is power. That alone is powerful. That is self-control, which the enemy doesn't have. Yeah. If you go to magicians, sorcerers, people that have dark powers, their power is always pushing them. They are even willing to hurt an innocent person that doesn't offend them. Yeah, because they cannot even control themselves. They can't control that power. It's always pushing them. So God, being able to delay in doing certain things, does not mean he's weak, and does not mean he's not able to do it. God being able to delay in doing certain things is not weakness, and is not impotence. But some of you think it is weakness of God, but it is not. It is wisdom of God. Yeah, I don't know, some time ago, I was sharing a testimony that I thank God for not doing certain things I wanted him to do some years ago. Yeah, because if he had done those things, I would not be where I am today. And those are very good and positive and beautiful things. I was so desperate to see God do those things then. I really want him to do those things. And of course, these are not bad things. They are things that also glorify God's name. But God refused to do them. And today, I'm thanking him, I'm praising him for that. Because if he had done those things at that time, I would not be where I am today. and probably I would have died. Yeah, so it is God's wisdom to delay certain things, to delay the performance of certain things. Yeah, some of you, there are things God will never give you till you die, because He wants your soul in heaven. He doesn't want you to lose heaven, because He knows that if he does those things for you, you will not make heaven. You cannot be wiser than God. God knows you more than you know yourself. Yeah. So in that scripture, the disciples were asking, when will you restore the kingdom back to Israel? When will you take it from the Romans? Because it is in the prophecy that the Messiah ruled over the nations, over the world from Israel. And yet the Messiah is going back to heaven. They expect that the Messiah should start ruling at that point. But Jesus said, it is none of your business to tell God what to do and when you should do it. You just focus on what has been given to you. Focus on the assignment I'm giving you. You leave God to that. Let God choose the time and the season you want to fulfill those prophecies. You just focus on what you have been called to do. Yeah. So sometimes what the wise thing to do is to focus on what you know God has called you to do. Forget about some prophecies that have not yet come to pass. Leave it to God. Let God decide when He wants to do. You just focus on what has been given to you. The assignment He has called you to do. Focus on spiritual growth. Yeah, focus on knowing Him more, knowing His power, knowing His presence. Focus on that. I pray that you will be wise at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be praying now. We pray now. I want you to close your eyes and begin to talk to God. But here I want you to pray like this. You're going to say, Father, forgive me of limiting your greatness. You're going to say, Father, forgive me for limiting your greatness, for limiting your power. I know in many ways, in my thoughts, in my reasoning, in my imaginations, I have limited you, limited your power, limited your greatness. Say, Father, forgive me for doing that. I repent today. Open your mouth and pray like that. Pray like that. Remember those spies. They went to spy the land. And then they began to say, we are like grasshoppers. They began to say, oh, those people are giants. We are grasshoppers. And for saying that, God made sure they did not see the promised land. Is that how you have been thinking? Have you been thinking that you are grasshopper and your enemy are the giant? If that is how, then that's the reason why you cannot enter into your promised land. Yeah. Because God wants your faith, your heart to be on His power, to be in His power, to be in His greatness. Say, Father, forgive me for limiting you. It's a great thing to limit God. In fact, according to the Bible, that is the most dangerous thing. unbelief is the most deadly sin to limit God. Say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for limiting you. Forgive me for not depending on your power. Forgive me for not depending on your power. Concerning the push in the galah. Say, Father, forgive me for not depending on your greatness. Forgive me for not trusting in your greatness. Forgive me for not trusting in your power. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Father. I repent today. I will no longer limit you. I will no longer limit you. Even if my body wants me to limit you, I will no longer limit you. Even if situations around me is suggesting that I limit you, I will no longer limit you. You need to pray. We will no longer limit you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We have two more prayer points. You're going to raise up your right hand. You're going to say, Almighty God, reveal the greatness of you in my spirit, soul, and body. The Almighty God, reveal the greatness of you in my spirit, soul, and body. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. The Almighty God, reveal the greatness of you in my spirit, man. Reveal the greatness of you in my soul. Reveal the greatness of you in my body. Thank you, Lord. Right now, Lord, reveal the greatness of you. Right now. So as to demonstrate your power to the world, so as to show everyone your glory. Reveal the greatness of you right now. The greatness of you right now, thank you, Lord. So that all men may see your glory through my life. So that all men may see your glory through my life. So that my life may fulfill your will in the head so that my life may fulfill your plans in the end. Oh Lord, reveal the greatness of you in me. Reveal the greatness of your power in me right now. Right now. In Jesus' name, oh, we are praying. Amen. Amen. Lastly, you're going to pray. You're going to place your right hand on your hand. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, I expose every walk of darkness in my life, every plantation of darkness in my life, to the greatness of God's presence. I expose the works of darkness to the greatness of God's presence. For them to die in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray that. If you know those things Satan is doing in your life, sickness is not of God, it's of Satan. You can mention those things one by one. Begin to expose them. Begin to expose them. There, I expose everything Satan is doing in my life to the greatness of God. Let the greatness of God kill them all. Let the greatness of God destroy them all. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I expose the works of darkness in my life to the greatness of God's power. I expose the plantation of darkness in my life to the greatness of God's power. Let God's power kill them. Let God's power destroy them now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I expose everything the enemy is doing in my life to the greatness of God. Let God's greatness destroy them now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So, I'm going to be praying for you now. I believe you have your water with you. I'll be praying on your water as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for your power. Not you. Thank you for the greatness of you that remains forever, that abides forever. Praise forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the revelation you have made us to see today about your greatness and about our own responsibility, our own duty to remain connected to your power. Ask, oh Lord, that you help everyone here to be wise so that you can help them and so that they can move forward and not live wasted years. Oh Lord, help your people to learn wisdom at this time in Jesus' name. I pray for you that whatever is in your life that has been pushing back God's fire, pushing back God's power, pushing back God's touch, pushing back God's visitation and God's interventions. Right now as I'm speaking, I command them to disappear in the name of Jesus. Today you become a candidate of God's power. In the name of Jesus. Today you become a candidate of miracles. A candidate of victory. In the name of Jesus. I pray for you that your relationship with God, your personal relationship with God, will become strong and stronger. And you will get to the point where the power of God can easily flow through you in every situation and for effective ministry. In the name of Jesus, I pray for supernatural recovery your health. For those of you who have been attending these programs for a long time and yet your sicknesses remain still, I decree that today there shall be supernatural recovery by the power of God. Name of Jesus, you shall see your sickness no more. In the name of Jesus, I pray that the power of God take possession of the water you have placed before you right now. Let the power of God possess the water. Let the water become a mighty instrument in the hand of God to do great work in you, both in your spirit and soul and body. Let this water become a mighty instrument in God's hand to do quick healings, quick deliverances, quick revival in you, quick transformation in you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' unfailing name, I have prayed. Amen.